In this session, Stuart uses the popular film The Matrix to describe both literal and metaphorical realities about the spiritual terrain in which we live, either consciously or unconsciously. Here is a short synopsis of the film to prepare you for some of the ideas that Stuart will discuss in this session. A computer software programmer named Thomas A. Anderson, played by Keanu Reeves, leads a secret life as a hacker under the alias Neo. A series of unusual events brings him into contact with a group of people led by Morpheus, played by Lawrence Fishburne. Morpheus explains to Neo that the Matrix is a false reality and invites him to enter the real world. He offers him two pills. The red pill will answer the question, "What is the Matrix?" by removing him from it, and the blue pill will simply allow life to carry on as before. As Neo reaches for the red pill, Morpheus warns Neo, "Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more." Of course, Neo takes the red pill, and his life is never the same. There, in the real world, Neo discovers that the year is not 1999, but about 2199, and that humanity is fighting a war against intelligent machines. In order to deny the machines their power source, solar energy, the humans scorch the sky. The machines responded by making use of human beings themselves as an energy source. It turns out that the world in which Neo has inhabited since birth, the Matrix, is an illusory, simulated reality construct of the world of 1999, developed by the machines to keep the human population docile while they are connected to generators and their energy is harvested. Morpheus, with the other free humans, works at unplugging humans from the Matrix and rescuing them. Morpheus has rescued Neo from the Matrix because he believes that Neo is the One, who has been prophesied by the Oracle to, quote, "hail the destruction of the Matrix, end the war, and bring freedom to our people," end of quote. Morpheus believes that Neo has the power to free humankind from its enslavement through complete mastery over the Matrix. Neo, along with the other members of Morpheus's group, is initially skeptical, but Morpheus teaches him to bend or break the rules of the Matrix, subvert the operation of the normal laws of physics. Neo also forms a close personal relationship with a female member of the group, Trinity. Inside the Matrix, the humans are pursued by a group of self-aware programs called agents, having incredible martial arts skills and capabilities beyond those of humans. Their most powerful skill is their ability to jump between bodies, enabling them to take over any person who has not been disconnected from the Matrix. Ultimately, Neo develops the ability to defeat the artificial intelligence within the Matrix and begin the process of restoring humans to their rightful place as the sentient species on the planet. In fact, it might be helpful to view the film The Matrix to get the full benefit from this session. Now listen as Stuart discusses how The Matrix contains elements of truth in the spirit world that exists around each one of us, and in how metaphorically taking the red pill and embracing true reality, both the pleasure and the pain of it, is the only path to true spiritual freedom.
Welcome back. This is program number 4, The Inner and Outer Matrix. In the Matrix film, the character Morpheus talks about fields upon fields that form invisible layers of control over humanity. What is incredible is that in the 4 years since we started watching the Morph, we began to see those layers of transdimensional control Morpheus talks of. Humanity is dominated from an unseen world, under the influence of a matrix of unseen beings. We are only now being able to see the truth of it. If you tell people that humans are not the most powerful beings here on Earth, and they don't really dominate, people would think you're nuts, and they would probably ridicule you, saying it's not possible. And yet that is exactly the truth that is cleverly hidden from us for tens of thousands of years. When Neo saw it in the Matrix film, he couldn't hack it. I'll tell you a bit about the dark forces I met up with And then I'll tell you about the light ones, and that will cheer you up and give you a balanced view. Remember, people's fear of the dark is a deliberate ploy, one that has been engineered to make sure you never escape to the feminine side, to the arms of the goddess. The idea is you'll remain in the yang, too terrified to move, and that the dark will rule the world forever. People are pre-programmed to react. Hollywood has helped sell the fear, and in doing so, they have further trapped humanity. To become free, you have to go the other way. Love the dark, leave the warlike yang, embrace the feminine, and don't be a wimp and set yourself free. There's an inner and outer matrix of control, and once you know what to look for, you will see how to fashion a spiritual escape from the grand lies imposed on you to hold you back. The New Age and certain religions try to deny the dark, hoping it will go away, and that only allows the dark to become ever more powerful and to hide ever more in the minds of people and become stronger. Part of our mission here in this life is to expose the transdimensional beings and the mechanism of control, and to teach our brothers and our sisters not to be scared anymore. Normally, you wouldn't need to know any of this stuff, and I could just not mention it. I could give you the cheesy version, rah-rah, living in the light, stick your head in the sand, bums up, heads down, everything will be fine. But if I did that, it would mean that I didn't care for you and your soul. And it would also say that I didn't care if you had the proper knowledge or not. It would be rather callous of me. All these things we know have come from watching them in the screen of the morph. How would my frail soul rest if I knew I'd sold you a crock and not told you how to make it or what to expect? I have to presume that you're strong and that you truly are going to try for the journey beyond enlightenment, through the side door we talked about. To do so, you have to have the knowing of things, and knowing things helps you be less vulnerable. If I had to surmise the whole journey, it's understanding that the things that you've done in the past have created struggle and pain, and they've also created the confusion of not knowing. And so it's in the turning around and going the other way that first of all you disengage from the knowing that wasn't correct or the misinformation that you were offered, and you begin towards your authentic self. It knows where the door is because it's beyond the door, so it can show you. So part of this journey, or all of this journey, is not so much acquiring any new dogma, but it's liberating yourself, really sitting down one day and admitting that it hasn't worked. If your life's working fantastically and you're really happy sort of titivating up your ivory tower, it wouldn't be for me to change that. This is for those people who intuitively believe there is a force beyond what they see day to day. A miraculous force, a force which is, in essence, the God force, that is more than willing to show you when you stop playing with your little sort of Meccano brick set, you know, your Lego. When you stop playing with your little Lego thingy and building this funny little wobbly life with all the pain that is involved in that, there is a place that initiates have gone for hundreds, perhaps thousands of years, and they've gone out through the side door, and that's the next evolution. So it's very much a journey for those people or those fringe dwellers who are fed up of listening to the same old stuff, who are fed up of rah-rah, trying to incorporate the rah-rah in their life, finding that after 2 or 3 weeks the rah-rah isn't there, and then experiencing more endless, they're like ripples in your consciousness. They're like, you go up the hill, you go down the hill, you go up the hill, you go down the hill. They're just where the human consciousness has been folded over, over and over and over, like little folds in a blanket, which humanity has to sort of travel across to get out. And of course, nobody's got out going the other way. It's never been done. The journey beyond enlightenment is not a journey forward or upwards or joining anything. It's rather the act of walking away and realizing that enlightenment might be a good thing for certain people, and there's certain people who need to stop at the crossroads and become a great holy man or a great medicine woman. But if you're truly enlightened, you aren't going to mess with that because it's too rinky-dink. What you really want to do is go back to the arms of God, and the arms of God is through that side door. If you ask, why should you join me on this journey and head out into an unknown terrain, The only thing I could say to you is that you don't have to, but the world is changing very, very rapidly. And if you don't grow and perceive and liberate yourself, it'll be liberated from you anyway. So you can stay where you are, but the towers are coming down. And the next 10 or 15 years, you'll see nothing but the collapse of the system. So you can sit there and insist on it and love it and care for it and paint your ivory tower for as long as you want to paint it. But one day, it'll fall anyway. So it's really a matter of, do you want to leave now on this gentle, sacred journey? Which, yes, involves a certain amount of unknown. It involves a certain amount of facing up to what is real. Or do you want to sit there and watch the tower taken from you forcefully? That's your choice. And if you say, ah, Stewie, I'd like to sit here and paint my ivory tower and put diamante studs on it, I'd say, fine. I mean, I wouldn't judge that ever. It's not for me to judge it. Everybody must choose. It's like Morpheus says in The Matrix, going back to that again. You take the red pill and you see how far the rabbit hole goes. So in effect, the rabbit hole is the side door. Or you take the blue pill and you wake up in your bed and you believe whatever you want to believe. Now, when he said that, he wasn't being callous. He was empathizing with Neo. He was saying, look, bro, if you don't want to go down the rabbit hole, don't go. You can return to your life, your ivory tower, your bed, and remain in that place. But the world is changing. The world is going to change dramatically, the most change that history has ever seen in any short period of time. And that changing is right upon us right now. Look at it like this. Next to our manipulated world of media and lies and waffle and hype, and loads of people selling you the illusion of the up escalator, taking you the wrong way, there's a forest. Beyond the forest is a heaven. In the forest are millions of beings, just like on Earth. Cute little etheric beings like fairy folk, and more gnarly beings that are smelly and nasty, but no real danger to you. A quirky way of looking at it is to say that the celestial worlds are surrounded by darkness. You have to cross the bog of stench before you get to the castle of the Holy Grail. This is the journey of the initiate, and this is the journey that has been taken by all since the beginning of time. Here's the background of it all in more depth. In the 15th and 16th centuries, mystics spoke of the fields, invisible spheres of influence that surround Earth and humanity. They were known as the sphere. There's a painting from around that time that shows the initiate leaving the spheres of the Earth plane for the other worlds. It's pretty. You can see it here in the CD-ROM. The sphere theory of medieval times is very interesting because humanity is inside a bubble, and that bubble is formed because we live in a physical universe that is made up of matter that has subatomic particles that spin twice. It's the double spin symmetry of our solid world that creates the bubble or the sphere that we're trapped in. Think of a revolving door at a hotel. You're in the lobby and you know there is a celestial world out in the street. So you enter the revolving door and it spins very fast, twice. And it plonks you back in the lobby, back in 3D. You never got out. That's why we humans are stuck. The only way out is not trying to force your way out through the revolving door. Instead, you have to go sideways and walk through the wall beside the door. Meanwhile, loads of unseen guards are in the lobby, making sure you don't try getting out or even think about it. How we did it was using the morph as a lens. A pal and I traveled through the Shadowlands for 3.5 years. It's like watching a movie on a screen, except you're watching the screen on the one hand, and you're in the film at the same time. That is the dual nature of these transdimensional worlds. Well, moving through, we discovered the secrets of the inner and outer matrix of control. It's quite technical, so I'll keep it as simple as possible. The outer matrix contains all the transdimensional beings that seem to be outside of us. I use the word seem because all of reality is outside of you and inside of you at the same time. It's the duality once again. This is because your perception of reality is only an electrical impulse in your brain. So the city street may be outside of you in one sense, and yet the only way to experience it is inwardly inside you. But in the context of the outer matrix, we say that the outer matrix includes all those dark beings that appear to be outside and beyond oneself. You have to realize that it's very much like in the film Matrix when Neo took the red pill. His reality was stripped away. What he thought was real, the noodle shop on the corner, became unreal. And when he came back from that journey, he had to remake himself.